Now, God says, I'm going to draw out the sword out of its sheath, all the way from the south to the north, that's in verse 4, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath, it shall not return any more. You see, the time has come. Now he says, sigh therefore, thou son of man, with breaking heart and with bitterness, sigh before their eyes. Now I wonder if he isn't actually putting on an act here, but he's revealing the heart of God, if you please. And it shall be, when they say unto thee, why sighest thou, that thou shalt answer for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit faint. Now, here we have it again. He's told to do this thing. And these people have complained about him giving them parables. Remember, verse 49 of the last chapter said, then said I, ah, Lord God, they say to me, doth he not speak parables? We don't get his message. They didn't want to get it, of course. But they were complaining about that. They didn't like to be told that things were wrong. We sometimes think that the parables of the Lord Jesus are rather obtuse, that they are difficult to understand. They are not, if you want to understand them. The problem's always been, do you really want to understand? Because the religious rulers in that day, they understood what he was saying. That's the reason they hated him, because he was speaking judgment of them. Now in verse 8 here, again the word of the Lord came unto me saying, just in case that you didn't quite get the message, why, he's going to repeat it again. Now he comes back to this matter of the sword. Son of man, prophesy, and say, thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened, and also polished. It is sharpened to make a great slaughter. It is polished that it may glitter. And here you have the fact that God says that he's going to judge the city. And I'm perfectly willing to say that this is a frightful and fearful word. And it comes from the lips of God, the one who had yearned over Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he loved the city. But how many times he said, I'd have gathered you and you would not. Your house is left and you're desolate. And if you want to know how terrible that judgment is, read what happened when Titus the Roman came in 70 AD and leveled that city, just as Nebuchadnezzar is going to do here. Now, God makes it very clear. And this is not something that was brand new by any means. You remember that Isaiah, and when we studied that prophecy, he said the same thing. In Isaiah, we have this statement, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. And again in 24:17 in Isaiah, fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And this man is to sigh because of that. And why? Well, because the Lord Jesus said, the day's coming, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Because of the judgment of God of Jerusalem, this man is to sigh and to weep over it. For God now has drawn the sword of judgment. Now, that's not popular today, but that is the reason this book may not be popular. Now, will you notice verse 18? The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, believe me, he's not letting us forget that. He says, also thou son of man, mark two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to decide which way he was going to come to Jerusalem. Now, do you think he's going to turn to the Lord? No, he's a pagan. He's going to use divination. He's going to use necromancy. Notice this, verse 21. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. These are methods that were used then and actually are used today. And the better translation here it means instead of he made his arrows bright, he shook his arrows to and fro. This was sort of like rolling dice or looking at tea leaves. You drop the arrows down, see which way they point and which direction he should go to Jerusalem. He's an entirely pagan heathen king. Now, God will overrule that. That's the important thing to know.